Let's dive into a comprehensive guide on shortening care and deep fryer cleaning that's specific for food truck owners so we can enhance your operational efficiency and keep you safe. Welcome to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. My name is Bill Moore. I am a food truck business coach, author of 5 food truck vending books, including Food Truck 101 and Food Truck 201. This podcast is all about helping you start and grow your food truck business.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The things we're going to talk about today not only contribute to top-notch fried foods, but they also extend the life of your shortening and help extend the life of your equipment. I want you guys to think back to the last time that you enjoyed a crispy and really delicious fried food item from restaurant, food truck, doesn't matter. So we're going to talk about the secrets behind delivering that irresistible texture, that amazing flavor. And it's not just in the batter or the seasoning, it's also in the fryer and the oils and how they're used. So for a food truck owner, mastering the art of shortening care is essential to you being, number one, profitable, but then number two, helping to drive repeat and loyal guests. So let's start with the basics. You got to have the right oil. You need an oil that has a high smoke point and one that makes sense to your menu. Popular oils are sunflower oils, peanut, and then canolas. So a peanut oil, a highly refined peanut oil for deep frying, is not an allergen. This is such an old wives' tale that people think that, oh my God, we're going to kill people. There are many restaurants out there that use peanut oil. Chick-fil-A averages $8 million a year in per unit sales. They do it by being open only 6 days a week. No other fast food chain averages $8 million a year per unit. None. They sell a bunch of chicken, and every bit of the chicken that is deep fried in peanut oil. So you would think that if peanut oil was such a problem, they couldn't possibly be the highest per unit sales volume restaurant in the world. So do your research. Highly refined peanut oil is not an allergen. FDA doesn't even require you to put up a notice about it. It is not an allergen. They remove all the proteins that are allergens. And what you're left with is something that has a good long life, and if it's well cared for, ends up being cheaper in the long run than the other oils, because it doesn't break down as fast. But people are afraid of, oh my God, peanut allergies. So once you've selected an oil, whatever you want to use, canola, peanut, sunflower, lard, doesn't matter. Whatever oil you're going to use, now you got to get into maintaining that oil and taking care of it. Because it's not something you just pour in and forget about. The first step to helping maintain that oil is going to be what's going to be the consistent frying temperature. Typically, you want to go between 350 and 375, depending upon what you're cooking. So you're going to test what you're going to be cooking. If it's too low of a temperature, say you're at 325, your food's going to absorb a lot more oil, and then it becomes greasy. So instead of frying it, it's absorbing it. If it's too high on the other side, let's say you go to 390 or 400 even, the oil breaks down much faster. It starts to affect the taste because you end up burning the particles in it much faster, so it has a bitter aftertaste to it. And then, of course, it becomes a safety issue because as it gets more dirt in it, it's easier for it to cause a fire. I've seen a number of food trucks that don't filter the oil the way that they should. So let's talk about filtering the oil. Skimming is the pre-filtering that you should do. And skimming is something you do all throughout the day. You're going to take a fine mesh skimmer. They make them just for fries. It's a little square. It's usually 6x6. It's got a handle on it. So you're just skimming out the stuff that you can that has fallen out of the baskets. It's floated off the food and the breading that's on your food. And you skim that out. You may have to skim it out every single time you drop a basket of food. You have to do that because if you don't, that stuff just sinks to the bottom, creates cold spots, it burns, it creates a bitter taste, and ends up looking like your food is peppered when it comes up out of the fryer. So you got to skim regularly. This is something that is not done near enough. I've been on a lot of food trucks and they don't even have a skimmer. You want to filter the oil at the end of the day or filter it based on volume. Filtering based on volume means that your oil is going to get too dirty because you're so busy. So at some point, you have to filter it before you can continue to cook. Yes, that becomes a pain if you're busy and at an affair or some other event. But if you're going to be that busy, you should have multiple fryers anyway. And at some point, it is going to slow down to where your line's only 10 people deep instead of 60 people deep. And that's the point where you shut down one fryer at a time to filter them and get the shortening clean. Because I can guarantee as the day drags on, if you don't filter it, the food comes out looking peppered. It comes out tasting bitter. It comes out not looking like you wanted it to look. There are many places that drop shortening. For instance, when I worked at Hardee's and we sold fried chicken back in the 90s, we had to drop the shortening in our fryer every, I believe it was 128 pieces of chicken. My Hardee's wasn't busy enough to drop 128 pieces of chicken all the way through lunch. We didn't sell but maybe 32 pieces. But my wife, on the other hand, Melissa, hers was the number one Hardee's in the U.S. as far as chicken sales went. So they were having to drop that shortening in the middle of the day, sometimes in the middle of lunch, because they would drop 128 pieces of chicken and the requirement was you filter it. Now, the machine did all the work, so it wasn't like we had to pull out a bucket and run it through a cone filter. You had to drop the shortening and it had a recirculation machine that had filters in it that would filter it and then put it right back into the fryer for us. It would take about 15 minutes or so. So for 15 minutes, you couldn't drop any chicken, but at least you weren't having to have an employee do it. The machine did it for you. But the point is, you got to figure out at what point does your cooking processes make the shortening too dirty to the point where we got to clean this stuff. It's either going to be by number of baskets dropped or number of pieces dropped like it was for chicken, or it's just going to be time. You know, we have to filter after lunch because we just are too busy. And then you drop the shortening and you filter it. And then you refill it and you move on. Certainly at the end of the night when you're closed, you're going to filter it. You're going to turn the fryer off, let it cool down while you're doing some other cleaning duties, and then you're going to filter it. You have to filter at the end of the night. The only way you would not have to filter is if you didn't use a fryer. So if you drop one basket of fries, and that's all you did because you were so darn slow, you're still going to filter that fryer because there's going to be stuff in the bottom that settled out of that basket that you haven't noticed. And that's going to end up burning tomorrow and ruining your shortening or contributing to the ruining of your shortening. So you filter the oil. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that will go out and buy those lids where they can just plop the lid on and drive away. Well, that's awesome, but you still got to filter the shortening. If you want to wait till tomorrow morning when it's totally cool, that's fine. I'll tell you right now, you can do it a lot faster when it's warm. But if you want to wait till it's cold because you're afraid of the temperature of the shortening, that's fine. But it's got to be filtered. It's got to be filtered daily, or at least every day it's going to be used. You want to get yourself either a test kit or test strips. These test strips tell you when there's too much free fatty acid content in your shortening. Now, the free fatty acid content is the stuff that leaches out when you deep fry any kind of protein. So if you're frying chicken or you're frying sausage or you're frying hot dogs or you're doing whatever you're doing, it's leaching out fatty acids and it's floating freely in that shortening. That's what causes one of the reasons why your shortening goes dark. And these test strips help you to determine that. The test strips say, hey, it's time to change. Or you get just the comparison kit where it's an eyedropper. You pull out just a little eyedrop's worth of shortening out of your fryer. And then while it's in that test tube, you're comparing it to two other color cylinders. One of them's darker, one of them's lighter. If your test tube is darker, your eyedropper is darker than the darkest cylinder that they have, there's time to change shortening. Basically, for a visual, if you guys drink iced tea, look at iced tea. If it's darker than that, your shortening needs to be changed. Now let's talk about keeping yourself safe with your shortening. Obviously, if you want to filter it, you want to let it cool down. And it needs to cool down to a safe temperature. Remember, your skin is going to be super sensitive. So even something that's cooled down to 150 degrees may be too hot for your skin. That you definitely don't want to have the shortening spill on you and get burns. So let the shortening cool down to whatever you feel is safe and then filter it. Now, if you're going to be traveling, you have two choices. You can filter it into a bucket that's got a lid and you're on your way. Or you can filter it, put it back into the fryer and then put a lid on the fryer and then you're on your way. Doesn't matter. The idea is that once the shortening is filtered, it's covered. Air is an enemy of shortening. Light is also an enemy of shortening. So that's why you want to cover it, whether it's inside the fryer or inside some type of container. But in either case, it has to be covered. When you go to clean the fryer, you're going to use soft brushes. The inside of fryers are aluminum, typically aluminum, or there's some type of very soft metal. Okay, so when you go to clean a fryer, you want to make sure you're using soft brushes because the metal on the inside is typically soft. So when you use something that's abrasive, like a green scrub pad or a metal scouring pad, you're going to create little scars in that metal. Each one of those scars now is a place for those fatty acids that we talked about earlier to adhere to. So the more scarring that you create on your soft metal interior of your fryer, the more you're going to have stuff cling to it. You want to keep that as smooth as you can. So soft brushes. It should never have buildup on it to the point where you feel like you need to take a paint scraper or some green scrub pad or, heaven forbid, a wire wheel on a drill to clean the thing, because you're going to end up ruining it and making it harder on you in the long run. Cleaning the fryer. Again, soft brushes. You want to boil them out at least once a month. The more fryers that you have, I would suggest that you do it one fryer a week. So if you got four fryers, one a week. If you got two fryers, you could do one every other week if you wanted. But when you do the boil out, put your fry baskets inside the fryer as if you were cooking something and boil them out as well. The boil out chemicals will help to keep your fryer clean as well as keep those baskets clean. It makes your life much easier if you do the boil out. Follow whatever the instructions are from the boil out packet that you get, whether it's one of the little hockey puck looking things or it's a powder or it's even a liquid. Just follow the instructions. They do make some that are what they call cold boil, which I know is a really odd way of phrasing it because you don't actually boil it, but you are putting a chemical in there that's cold and you're letting it sit overnight. And then the chemical eats away at the stuff. My preference is the typical powder because it's quicker and I just like quick. Within 20 to 30 minutes, you're done and the fryer looks almost brand new. Now, the key to whenever you're doing a boil out is that you get all the water back out of that thing. Got to pay attention to the water in there and get it out. I would let the fryer sit overnight for any little bits of moisture in there to be able to evaporate. And that would fill it up the next morning. When you refill with shortening, make sure you fill it up to the normal fill line. Don't overfill. Because if you overfill, remember your baskets and food go in there, so it's going to make it even overflow that much more. If your fryer is marked with a minimum, make sure it never gets below the minimum. And follow whatever your manufacturer recommends for doing your shortening as far as filling it up. My preference over the years has been a solid shortening. So if you can imagine Crisco, but it actually firms up a little bit more than Crisco. We'd have to take that and cut it with a knife. The problem with that is the melting process initially is kind of slow. So we'd have to pack in the burners with the solid shortening. And that's a little bit of a messy job. But once you get used to it, you can do it pretty quickly. And I just like that shortening better. But it is more dangerous because adding shortening to a fryer is a little bit more of a challenge. Because what you have to do then is cut the cube into smaller bits and then drop them into a basket and then lower the basket into the fryer. Otherwise, you end up splashing hot shortening all over yourself. And I've done that many times because I'm too stubborn to do it the right way. Once you have a fryer in operation, you got it clean, you're going to be tempted to refill the thing. What I suggest people do, especially if you got multiple fryers, is you only add new shortening to one fryer and allow the older shortening to refill the second or the third and fourth fryers. That way you've always got one fryer that has mostly clean shortening in it. The reason you would do that is because there's probably one food product that you have that you don't want it to be discolored by darker shortening. For example, French fries. French fries, you want them to look pristine. You want them to look great. Part of that look is they're only deep fried on the corners. They have that little bit of darker caramelization. They have that snap to them. Whereas if you take a piece of chicken, for instance, it's got the breading, you want it to be that darker, richer, very brownish, tan caramelized. And you want the whole chicken to look that way. So when it goes into a darker shortening, it's going to look that way. Whereas French fries, you put them in that darker shortening, they start to look burnt and they get splotchy and they don't look as appetizing. So if you got multiple fryers, keep the newest shortening in one fryer and then allow that fryer to fill the others up. So if you got three fryers, let's say, fryer number three needs an inch worth of shortening. You're pulling that out of fryer number two until it's got the right amount of shortening in it. So now fryer number two is down at least an inch plus whatever it was down before. So that comes out of fryer number one. You're filling it. Fryer number two until it's the right level. And then whatever's left in fryer number one is new shortening. That's how you keep that going. You keep the rotation going that way. Ideally, as the fryer number three gets darker, you're going to eventually throw it away. And then fryer number two's oil goes down to fryer number three in whole. And then fryer number one's oil goes into fryer number two. So if you're thinking about it, you have new oil, use once or use twice oil, and use three or more times in the last fryer. And you keep that pattern up, you're not having to change out three fryers at a time to where you're spending $150 on shortening. Shortening care takes work. It's not just dump it in and let it go and throw it away when it's done. So write out your procedure so that you understand what you're doing, and then you can teach it to somebody else. We talked about having video cameras. Well, there's a good thing on a video camera. This is how you do it. And then record how it should be filtered, how it should be skinned, how it should be filled, what the rotation process is, how do you test it. So you got a training video, and then you've got those practical applications of the training. This is how we're going to do it. Just get it done. Shortening is expensive, so we got to take care of it, make it last as long as we can. Now, I want you to understand that shortening is one of those things that has been rising and falling for decades. The prices you guys are paying aren't too different than what we were paying in 2008. I can remember when shortening went up so much in 2008. We were having to look at, we're going to have to raise the budget for shortening because the price just got too out of control. And nobody was able to make the budget on shortening because it was impossible. We got to the point where we were changing the shortening based on sales, that we could afford to change it rather than based on quality. And you never want to get to that point. You always should throw it away when the quality isn't there. If you're having to wait till you can afford to throw it away, you got other problems. Thank you so much for listening to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. If you're finding all the information helpful to your food truck business, please become a monthly supporter of the podcast. Just hit the support button or follow the link in the description. Every little bit does help keep us going. Join our Facebook group. It's called Food Truck Training. We have a whole bunch of awesome members at all different levels, from brand new beginners to decades old veterans. They've all got your back when it comes to helping you with your food truck. And again, thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow, because you know I got plenty more to say when it comes to helping you and your food truck business grow.